Narayanam Namaskritya Naram Cheva Narottamam Devim Saraswatim Vyasam Tato Jaya Mudirayat. You can share.
So you wear and then you wear. Both, okay.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 5, Chapter 14, Chapter entitled The Forest of Enjoyment, Text Number 20. This text is in prose, so I'll just read it through. Sa eva puna nidra jagara grihiton de tamasi magna shunyaranya eva shete nanya kinchana veda shava eva pavita saha.
Saha.
That conditioned soul.
That
Eva.
Eva.
Certainly.
Certainly.
Puna.
Puna.
Again.
Again.
Nidra Ajagara.
Nidra Ajagara.
By the python of deep sleep.
By the python of deep sleep.
Grihita.
Grihita.
Being devoured.
Being devoured.
Ante.
Ante.
In deep darkness.
In deep darkness.
Tamasi.
Tamasi.
In ignorance.
In ignorance.
Magnaha.
Magnaha.
Being absorbed.
Being absorbed.
Shunya Aranye.
Shunya Aranye.
In the isolated forest.
In the isolated forest.
Eva.
Eva.
Like.
Like.
Shete.
Shete.
He lies down.
He lies down.
Na.
Na.
Not.
Not.
Anyat.
Anyat.
Else.
Else.
Kinchana.
Kinchana.
Anything.
Anything.
Veda.
Veda.
Knows.
Knows.
Shavaha.
Shavaha.
A dead body.
A dead body.
Iva.
Iva.
Like.
Like.
Apavida.
Apavida.
Thrown away.
Thrown away.
Translation and purport by His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. Sukadeva Goswami continued speaking to Maharaj Parikshit. My dear King, sleep is exactly like a python. Those who wander in the forest of material life are always devoured by the python of sleep. Being bitten by this python, they always remain in the darkness of ignorance. They are like dead bodies thrown in a distant forest. Thus the conditioned souls cannot understand what is going on in life. Translation responsibly. Sukadeva Goswami continued speaking to Maharaj Parikshit.
Sukadeva Goswami continued speaking to Maharaj Parikshit.
My dear King.
My dear King.
Lift and then put. This is temple. Lift and then put. Okay. My dear King.
My dear King.
Sleep is exactly like a python.
Sleep is exactly like a python.
Those who wander in the forest of material life.
Those who wander in the forest of material life.
Are always devoured by the python of sleep.
Always devoured by the python of sleep.
Being bitten by this python.
Being bitten by this python.
They always remain in the darkness of ignorance.
They always remain in the darkness of ignorance.
They are like dead bodies.
They are like dead bodies.
Thrown in a distant forest.
Thrown in a distant forest.
Thus the conditioned souls.
Thus the conditioned souls.
Cannot understand what is going on.
Cannot understand what is going on.
In life.
In life.
Thank you.
Purple. Material life means being fully absorbed in eating, sleeping, mating, and defending. Out of these, sleep is taken very seriously. While asleep, one completely forgets the object of life and what to do. For spiritual realization, one should try to avoid sleep as much as possible. The Goswamis of Vrindavan practically did not sleep at all. Of course, they slept some, for the body requires some sleep. But they slept only about 2 hours, and sometimes not even that. They always engaged in spiritual cultivation, nidrahara, vihara kadi vijito. Following in the footsteps of the Goswamis, one should try to reduce sleep, eating, should try to reduce sleeping, eating, mating, and defending. Omigyan, Timidandasya, Genanjana, Shalakaya, Chakshuran Militam, Jena, Tasmai, Sri Gurave, Nama, Sri Chaitanya, Manopishtam, Stapitamina, Bhutale, Swayam Rupa, Kadamayam, Dadati, Swa, Vedantikam, Vancha, Kalpat, Rubyascha, Kripa, Sindhubi, Evacha, Petitanam, Pavanebhyo, Vaishnavebhyo, Namo, Nama, Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadha Shri Vasadi Gaura Bhakta Brinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama Ram Ram Hare Hare. Srila Prabhupada ki
jai.
So, this chapter is called The Forest of Enjoyment. And this whole section is Maharaj Rahukana being spoken to by Jad Bharata. So when you study this section, when Jad Bharata is speaking, it is meant to create renunciation in our consciousness. That's one of the main features and the main points of studying our philosophy, the Srimad Bhagavatam. We're meant to cultivate a spirit of renunciation. You should feel detachment coming from this world. Right? If you're practicing Krishna consciousness for many years and you're not feeling more and more detached, right, then there's something wrong with the application. Because there is nothing wrong with the process. Right? The process is perfect. But if you're not feeling that you're becoming more renounced, then there's something wrong with how you're applying the process. It means you're not applying it properly. Just like the nectar of devotion, right? What is the subtitle for the nectar of devotion? It says nectar of devotion, and there's a little line on there.
The complete science of Bhakti Yoga.
Does it say complete? There's this. Yeah, I thought it said the science of Bhakti Yoga. Maybe it does, yeah, maybe it says the complete. Yeah, so it says, yeah, the complete science of Bhakti Yoga, or the science of Bhakti Yoga. Now, it's a science. Right? You have to apply it. Just like if you go into the lab and do an experiment, if you add certain chemicals in certain proportions, then what will happen? Right? Then you'll get a particular reaction. Right? The science will lead to a particular point. So Bhakti Yoga is like that. When you follow the process, you're supposed to be getting to a certain point. And if you're not getting to that point, then it means there's something wrong along the way. Just like if you do a scientific, hey, you two, what are you doing? Are you listening? Huh? I'm watching both of you. Huh? You listen. Huh? It's Bhagavatam class. No, they're okay. If you want to play, you have to go outside, okay? Otherwise, listen. Bhagavatam, okay? Have to learn to control the mind. Krishna consciousness. One day, if you want to be brahmachari, one day you have to have control of the mind. Okay? Very good. So, You have to see that while you're doing the experiment, that you're getting to the goal. You have to be very clear, just like you're doing a scientific experiment. So in the beginning, you understand this is the hypothesis, this is what we're trying to achieve. Right? You have to know what the goal is you're trying to achieve, and then you start mixing the chemicals to get to the goal. So in bhakti yoga, it is the same. If you want to get to the goal, you have to understand what it is that you have to do along the way. Right? And if you do it properly, you will get the result. Just like if you have a scientific experiment and you do it properly, you get the result. Right? Just like we have H2O. Right? So if you mix hydrogen two parts, oxygen one part, then what do you get? Water. Yeah, pani. Jar. It will come. Water. It will come. But you have to have the right combination. If you don't have the right combination, you don't get the result. So in bhakti yoga, we have to understand, what is the result? What are we aiming for? What's the final result?
Krishna
prem. Krishna prem. That's the goal. So you have to make sure you're doing everything correct on the way so you get to that goal. And one of the sub-goals along the way is renunciation, vairagya. Vasudeva bhagavati bhakti yoga priyojita. Janaya yashu vairagyam jnanam chayat ahuitukam. Along the way, you will get jnana and vairagya. Right? That comes when you practice bhakti yoga properly. Then you'll become detached. So we should feel that spirit of renunciation. We should feel that coming as we practice Krishna consciousness. Right? So if you're practicing but you're not feeling renunciation coming, there is a problem. Now, what could the problem be? The problem could be material or spiritual. Right? If you're practicing Krishna consciousness but you're not feeling that detachment is taking place, it means that you may not be situated in the correct ashram. Right? Because if you're in the renounced ashram, like brahmachari or sannyas, right? If you're in one of the renounced ashrams, right? Thank you for coming, brahmacharis. Thank you for gracing us with your presence. It's good that you get here. Eventually you get here. Well, I suppose in India sometimes they say, better late than never. Thank you for coming. Well, we feel honored to have you here. So, why is that door open? You need fresh air? So, renunciation, right? If you're not in the right ashram, then the spirit of renunciation may not come. Like, if you're in the brahmachari ashram, sannyasa ashram, you see sometimes the sannyasis, they leave the ashram, or the brahmacharis have to move on. Because if you're not in the right ashram, the renunciation is not coming. Actually, you're becoming more attached to this material world. Right? You can be in the brahmachari ashram, but you can be becoming more attached. Krishna speaks about this in the beginning of the third chapter of the Bhagavad Gita. He says, michacha. Michacha means a pretender. Right? Someone who is pretending to be a devotee. Or pretending to be renounced. Right? In the consciousness, you are meditating on sense gratification. Even though you're acting externally like you're renounced, but internally you're meditating on sense gratification. So you may not get renunciation if you're in the wrong ashram. Or you might be in the Grihastha ashram. But in the Grihastha ashram, if you're more renounced, right, then it's not the right ashram for you. Right? And then your detachment is, your advancement is not taking place properly. So you have to be properly situated materially. Yeah. And then also, spiritually. Spiritually means you have to be applying the process properly. Right? That's why every morning after Mangalati we chant the 10 offenses. What are the 10 offenses? Number two. But we get the point, right? There are 10 offenses, right? You have to follow the 10 offenses properly. In other words, if you're committing the 10 offenses, how will you get the result? We say this at the end. You don't get the prema dana. You don't get the gift of prema. Right? Because if you're committing offenses along the way, then you will not get the actual goal of Krishna consciousness. So therefore you have to follow the science properly. What is the remedy for the 10 offences? If you commit the 10 offences, 8 of them are rectified by knowledge, right? And 2 of them are rectified by going to the person you offended and begging forgiveness. So first offence, blaspheme the devotees. Third offence, disobey the orders of the guru. So if you blaspheme the devotees, how do you overcome that offence? Right? You have to go to the devotee you blaspheme and say, Prabhuji, please forgive me. Then the offence is removed. Right? Unless it's a very serious offence and the devotee might not forgive you. And then Krishna Chakravarti Thakur says, then you have to take shelter of Nam Prabhu, of the Harinam, the holy name. Yeah, sometimes the devotee might not forgive you if it's a very serious offence. A devotee might say, then the holy name will give you shelter if you're sincere. Right? So, to blaspheme the verse, third offence is disobey the orders of the spiritual master. So if you do that, if you disobey the orders of the guru, you have to go to the guru and beg forgiveness. You say, Guru Maharaj, I was not able to follow your instructions. Please forgive me. No. And then he will give forgiveness. The other 8 offences, right, to commit sinful activities on the strength of the holy name, to maintain material attachments, to equate the demigods to be equal to Krishna, all these other offences, they're overcome by knowledge. Right? If you think the demigods are equal to Krishna, then you have to get proper knowledge. You have to study Bhagavatam. You understand that Krishna is tu Bhagavan Swayam. Krishna is the supreme entity. Right? When you understand things properly, then you don't commit those offences. Right? So that's the way to overcome the thing. So it's a science. Right? If you're not getting the result, if you're not developing Krishna praying, if you're not developing renunciation, it means that you're not practicing the science properly. Right? And Bhaktivinoda Thakur says, which of the offences causes all of the other offences?
Inattention,
very good. You know, when we do the, we speak the offences in the morning, we say, and it, we say like number 11, and it is also an offence to be inattentive whilst chanting. So we add it in. But in the Harinam Chintamani, right, it's actually one of the 10 offences, right? In the Puranas, it's mentioned like, there's 2 different lists like this. In our, list that we recite, you could merge 5 and 6 together, right? And then if you do that, then to think it's imagination, if you can merge it, then you can put that other one in as 1 of the 10. So this is what causes all the offences in your chanting, inattention while chanting, inattention in any service, not just chanting, inattention in Bhagavatam class. Right? That's an offence. You're in Bhagavatam class, but you're not attentive. Right? You're falling asleep. I've seen it. I've seen it in my lifetime. I've seen devotees fall asleep. I've seen it. You know, you're giving class and someone's looking at you and they go. I've seen devotees looking straight at me going, what is this? It's an offence. It's an offence. Not an offence to me, but an offence to the Bhagavatam. If you fall asleep, it says, Rupa Goswami says, nectar of devotion. If you fall asleep in the temple, that's an offence. You're in front of Krishna. What are you going to do when you get back to Goloka? You know, Krishna's there, and you just go, you know, Krishna's playing his flute and you just go and Krishna say, Hare Baba, go back to material world, go and sleep. And when you come back here, we don't sleep. No one sleeps up there. It is called Yoga Nidra. Krishna sleeps in his pastimes and mentions they're asleep, but he's not unconscious. He's not unconscious. Maybe he's lying there like this, but he's not unconscious. Everything is still, all the pastimes are still going on. So there's no sleep for Krishna. Tamaguna is only here in this world. So that's an inattentive while chanting. So if you're like chanting, you sing those 12 o'clock at night rounds. Sometimes for some reason you don't finish your rounds and you're up to 12 o'clock. And the last round takes about 1 hour and 45 minutes. Right, you're like, that's not chanting. If you're like that, then how do you expect to make advancement? Right? That's an offense to the chanting. To be inattentive. Inattentive. It means you're chanting, but your consciousness is not in the holy name. That's inattentive. You don't make advancement at that point. You make advancement when your mind is in the holy name. Same as everything. When you're in the Bhagavatam, in your consciousness, then you're making advancement. If you're, you see devotees in the class on the phone, doing emails and stuff. You're not making a lot of advancement. You're doing two different things. So you're not making, it's inattention. So it means like that in all of our service. Every service we do, you have to be attentive in the service. That's how you make advancement. Attention to detail. Like you put the garland on the devotee. No, but you put the garland on upside down. Right? You have to be attentive in your service. Right? So many examples. Yeah. So you make advancement when you're attentive in the service. If you're not attentive, you don't make advancement. So it is a science of bhakti yoga. If you want to get Krishna prema, if you want to get renunciation, you have to practice bhakti yoga properly. Right? And you have to be in the right vana and ashram as well. Prabhupada said you have to work according to your psychophysical makeup. Everyone has a particular nature, so you have to do your service according to your nature. Just like Sataputta Prabhu. You know Sataputta Prabhu? He was Prabhupada's disciple. He passed away. He's left this world now. But he was scientist devotee. He wrote some nice books about science and music. So when he first joined the temple, I think he joined maybe New Vrindavan, then the first service they gave him was digging holes. Yeah, so he was there digging holes. one few days, few weeks digging holes. And then one devotee said to him, "Oh, Prabhu, what did you do before you became a devotee?" He said, "I was a scientist." So someone said, "Why is he digging holes? He's a scientist. Engage into his nature." So then he met Prabhupada. Prabhupada said, "Then you teach these scientists, right, how to become Krishna conscious." Right? And then they started the Bhaktivedanta Institute, the BI. Right? In the last 2 years Prabhupada was on the planet, two things he talked about all the time. Right? What were the two things? What was his main focus the last 2 years?
Vanashram,
yeah. It means the farm communities. That was Prabhupada's focus the last 2 years, farm communities. When Prabhupada, 1977, in January, beginning of February, Prabhupada went back to Vrindavan because Prabhupada was not well. No? So he went to Vrindavan. He wasn't going to leave. But then Tamal Krishna Maharaj talked Prabhupada into, convinced him to go to the west again. Prabhupada couldn't even walk. Brahmananda Prabhu had to carry Prabhupada to the car and then carry him onto the plane. Prabhupada couldn't even walk. August of 1977, Prabhupada flew across to London. On that final tour, he was only going to the farms. Bhaktivedanta Manor, right? And then he was going across to America, Gita Nagari, New Vrindavan, Sharanagati. He was only going to the farm because he said, "This is my final mission." And the other thing that Prabhupada, the last couple of years, he focused on was the Bhaktivedanta Institute to the scientists. At the end, he spoke. Harisori Prabhu said he spoke about it every day. These rascal scientists. Prabhupada, every day he would speak about it. Yeah. So that was his focus. So you have to be engaged according to your nature, your psychophysical makeup. Whatever you're good at, that you have to do that for Krishna. Everyone has different ability. If you're Brahminical, then you study, you teach, you preach. If you have Kshatriya mentality or nature, then you have to manage for Krishna. If you're Vaishya mentality, nature, make lots of money for Krishna. If you're Shudra mentality, do seva for Krishna. Right? So many things, but you have to work according to your nature. And if you work according to your nature, you get purified. The process works. You get Krishna prema. You get renunciation. So your vanashram has to be right and your application has to be right. Then you will get the goal. Otherwise, you won't get the goal. So this whole section, Jad Bharat is speaking to make us renounced, to make us detached. You have to become detached from this world. Hands up if you're attached to this world. Okay, one devotee is not, but everyone else. We're attached. It's unfortunate, but we're attached. So we have to become detached. We have to develop vairagya. Vairagya means detachment. Vairagya is a practice. So in this section, Jad Bharata is speaking in such a way to make Rahugana detached. Right? And we also have to become detached. Because if you're attached, you can't make advancement. So it's a practice. We have to practice becoming detached from this material world. So in this particular verse, he is speaking about sleep. So if you read what Prabhupada said about sleep, it's interesting. Right? Everything Prabhupada spoke about, you can research it. You can say, oh, what did Prabhupada say? So in the Bhagavad Gita, Prabhupada, there was that famous sentence where Prabhupada says, we should not sleep more than 6 hours a day. So devotees always quote that. They often quote that. Prabhupada said only. That wasn't the only thing Prabhupada said about sleep. Right? If you research what Prabhupada said, he said many things about sleep. That wasn't the only comment. Of course, 6 hours a day is good. If you can do it, that is very good. For me, I need seven. Right? If I sleep 7 hours a day, it's okay. But if I sleep more than that, then it is a problem. If I sleep less than that, it is a problem. So if I sleep less than 7 hours a day, if I go to like 6 hours, I can do it for a few days. But after a few days, then my brain starts going problem. My brain starts going problem any time. But if only 6 hours, then after a few days, then too much. So you have to. So Prabhupada actually said, if you go through his statements about sleep, Srila Prabhupada says, you need to sleep as much as you need to serve Krishna nicely. And he said, in some places he says 7 hours, 8 hours, he says these things. He says what you need to serve Krishna. Right? But the point is we need to reduce it over time. Reduce your sleeping. But it has to be done naturally, properly. Prabhupada even in one letter, he even says 9 hours. He said if you're working very hard for Krishna, no, that means you have to work hard. You can't just sleep 9 hours and then just eat your patties. Oh, Prabhu, that's my seva. My seva is Anna Prasad. Seva. That's okay, but you have to work hard for Krishna. So Prabhupada said many things about sleep, but the basic principle is we have to reduce it. Right? These are the four propensities of animal life: eating, sleeping, mating, and defending. What is the difference between us and animal? Not very much. Right? They're eating, we're eating, sleeping, mating, defending, that's it. Basically the same thing. But this is not the goal of human life. Right? Materialistic people, that's all they do. They work hard during the week, just so on the weekend they can eat and sleep. Right? And mate and defend. That's all. That's material life, right? This is not devotional life. We eat for Krishna, right? So then the question is, how much should we eat? Have you seen how much I eat? Quite a lot. Right? Reducing now because I'm getting older, but I can eat quite a lot. But if you ate that much, you maybe would leave your body. Yeah, some devotees, they would, you know? Sometimes when I eat, like, you know, when I'm younger, I used to eat more, but when I, you know, used to eat, you know, I remember one person, I ate that much in 1 week. That was one meal. Right? So different devotee is different. How much you eat, that is from my quote, but you have to reduce the eating, right? Because if you eat too much, you sleep too much. Right? So reduce it, you have to have a balance. Prabhupada said, our senses should be, what was the word? I'm just trying to think of the word that it's not coming into my mind. It was like strong, but yeah, I can't remember the word of the Prabhupada, but it means like strong. Your senses have to be strong in Krishna's service, right? So you have to eat nicely. If you eat too little, you won't be strong. You have to eat in such a way. Prabhupada said, eat sumptuously. So eat enough so you're strong, so you can do a lot of service for Krishna. That's the point. Don't eat too little, so then you can't serve Krishna properly. If you eat too little, the mind becomes disturbed. Right? Just like if you don't eat for 2 or 3 days, what happens to your mind? Right? You become very angry. Right? And everyone says, what's wrong with you? I did not eat. So then you become very disturbed. Yeah? You see devotees sometimes on Janmashtami. Yeah. 10 o'clock, 11 o'clock at night. Everyone's walking around like one. Don't talk to me, Hare Krishna. I'm just waiting for 12 o'clock. So when we're young devotees, sometimes we need to eat sumptuously, Prabhupada said. And so you eat enough so you can do service enough. But you have to reduce the eating, reduce the sleeping over time. Right? But not artificially. Right? And then, mating and defending. In 1977, Prabhupada said, I gave up mating and defending a long time ago. Now, by Krishna's mercy, I'm able to give up eating and sleeping also. Prabhupada was already sleeping, not very much. Prabhupada was sleeping like 2 hours a night. And then during the day, maybe half an hour after lunch, half an hour after breakfast. So maybe 3 hours a day. And then he would have massage. So if you say that's resting, then it turns out to be like 4 hours a day like that. 3 to 4 hours, that's all Prabhupada would do. So that is the system that Prabhupada was reducing. Bhaktivinoda Thakur also only 4 hours a day. It said the Goswamis were only like 2 hours a day. So the basic point is not that we all start sleeping 2 hours a day or 3 or 4. I mean, if you can do it, that is good. But you have to do it naturally. So don't become fanatical. Right, devotion. Sleep enough, eat enough, so that you can serve Krishna nicely. So, this is the basic point in this section of the Bhagavatam. We're being taught how to become renounced, how to become detached. And once you become detached, then you can serve Krishna nicely. So, any questions or comments on what we have discussed today? Yes, sir. No? I take it back. False alarm. How come the garland is on the ground? Why is the garland? See the garland? Hey, the garland. That's Prabhupada's garland. You have to put it around. Yeah, that's it. You don't put it on the ground. It's Prabhupada's garland. Any questions? Comments? Anyone in the universe? Got that microphone? We're supposed to pass the mic off.
Can you put in some batteries?
There's no battery? Oh, there is. No, first.
Hi, Shambhu. Sometimes we see that it's hard to forgive people.
Hard to what?
Hard to forgive people. So how do we develop that mood of forgiveness?
People or devotees?
Devotees in general, like, you know, we see that sometimes we're trying to forgive for certain things, but we see that...
Devotees or non-devotees?
Devotees.
How to forgive devotees?
Sometimes, yeah, like if there's certain things that happen, but then how do we develop that mood to, like, completely forgive?
Well, it depends on the level of the offence. Like if it's a big offence, a big uproar, yeah, okay, that's difficult to forgive. So then, you know, if the devotee comes to you as a big offence, and devotee comes to you and says, oh, you know, Prabhu, I'm sorry, We say, okay, I accept your apology. So I forgive you. But then, you know, you may keep a bit of a distance because the offence was very large. But, you know, you forgive them like that. But if it's just some small thing, you know, like someone took the last piece of avocado at breakfast or, you know, sometimes the bodies don't talk for like 1 year, 2 years. And then after one day, yeah, how come you two aren't talking? Oh, he took the avocado at breakfast like two. What is that? That means you're crazy. Right. So if it's a small offence, then forgive it and move on. Right. If it's a big offence, okay, then it's more serious thing. But most of the time, it's not such a big thing. So if the devotee is sincere, and he sincerely says, you know, please forgive me, then yeah. Just, life is too short to worry about these things. So if it's a big offence, that's different, but if it's a small offence, let go of it. Otherwise, it will ruin your. Otherwise, you spend your whole time chanting a japa, you're just thinking, oh, you know, this devotee did little offence to me. You know, this one took the avocado. This one didn't call me Prabhu. This one, what is that? Sometimes, spend our whole japa period just thinking about, you know, oh, this one didn't call me Prabhu yesterday. You know, it's like, what is that? You waste your life. Is it okay? Anything else? Okay. Any other question? Okay, this one, and then Russell. Say, someone bring it. You bring it. Come on. Someone in the universe, bring the microphone. Come on. Over here. Bring to Prabhuji. Good go. That's it. Good go. Yes.
What's the maximum sleep?
What's the what?
The maximum sleep we can sleep.
Sleep.
Yeah, what's the maximum? That's up to you. You work that out with your parents.
8 hours.
What's that? 8 hours is okay. I mean, you guys are kids, so you might need extra sleep. That's okay. You don't have to do, like, austerity at your age. See, when you're a kid, if you don't sleep enough, your brain does not develop. So you have to have good sleep. When you get older, then you can stop sleeping so much. But when you're a kid, you just sleep as much as you need to sleep. That's no problem. But then when you're older, then you can reduce it. Okay, so take the microphone. What did you just hear? Good boy.
So the subject of the verse is sleep, and sleep is something that we need to grow out of. I found in the preface to Krishna book, Srila Prabhupada says that so the opposite of sleep you were indicating was attention, right?
Yep.
So I looked up attention in Vine Chords. So the art of focusing, says Krishna book preface, the art of focusing one's attention on the Supreme and giving one's love to him is called Krishna consciousness. So that's the result of attention.
Yeah, that's what we're aiming for. Yeah, that's good. See, in Kapiladeva's teachings, which canto is Kapiladeva's teachings?
3.
Canto 3. Which chapters?
26.
Yeah, 26. It's more than that. Yeah, it's quite a few. Quite a few chapters. So in Kapiladeva's teachings, he actually says that sleep is a function of intelligence, buddhi. In other words, why do you sleep? Because it rests the intelligence. So if you don't rest the intelligence becomes dysfunctional. You know, when you don't get enough sleep, you can't concentrate on things. Right? You see, like, you know, many people have car accidents because they don't sleep enough. The intelligence is not sharp, and then boom. So it's like that in so many things. You know, if you don't sleep enough, your intelligence becomes a problem. And then, you know, you can't chant your japa properly, you can't read properly. You know, so you have to take rest. That's why, you know, if devotees are falling asleep in class, I say, Prabhu, go and take rest. Don't sleep here. This is, you know, you don't sleep in the temple. You know, if you're tired, that's okay. Just go and take rest. But if you're in the class, you have to be attentive. So intelligence, sleep is a function of intelligence. Buddhi. You need it. That's it. Any other question? Okay.
How many
what?
How many times does
Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur sleep for? I haven't heard, but it would be minimum. He was like the Goswamis. He was very renounced. Bhaktivinoda Thakur was only 4 hours a night. Prabhupada was about 3 or 4 hours. So it would have been 3 or 4 hours or less. He was very renounced. He's very powerful. Any other question? Comment? Cool. Sure, Prabhupada. Ki.
Jai Ho.
Jai Ho.